You're listening to Dietitian Power Hour with Morgan, Cody, and Libby. Grab a drink and enjoy.
Let's get right into it then. What are you guys drinking today?
I have some Chardonnay.
Chardonnay.
It's making my grumpy Monday about a million times better. And to top it off, okay, this is going into a brief story, but I totally ate shit over nothing last week and scraped the crap out of my knee like I'm an 8-year-old again.
Oh, no.
And I'm very upset about it because I like skinned my knee through my pants, didn't rip my pants, and I bruised both of my hands, and it was just really embarrassing. Literally tripped over nothing. I'm super clumsy. But anyways, it's almost healed, you guys. Almost. I have just one tiny little scab left, and it's thrilling.
So glad it's healing well.
Thank you.
Libby, have you been taking your Juven packets?
You know, I haven't. I would not say that my intake has been optimal for wound healing. It's probably been the opposite. I've been drinking a lot of alcohol. So
I actually texted Libby earlier about a patient I had with some wound healing issues and looking for supplementation guidelines, which is really, I think it's great. Like, as dietitians, you kind of build your own little network, and you can,
yeah,
whenever you have something come up, like if you know someone who does it more often than you, it's like great to lean on.
Yeah, it made me very happy that you reached out to me, because I do that, you know, daily. So thanks.
Yeah, I figured out how much vitamin C and zinc to get her. So
good. Was it through that resource, or did you find a different one?
Well, so I actually found a paper through ASPN, American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition. They just had, it was a bit more specific, like to kids.
Yeah.
So it was like double, well, for vitamin C, it was like five times the DRI split into two daily doses. And then for zinc, it was two times the DRI split into two daily doses. So it was like, you know, I was able to figure out for her age how much to get
nice.
Her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we tangented. But what are you drinking, Cody? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I am drinking some delicious macaroni and cheese that I'm getting ready for dinner. And hey, guess what? It is vegan macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
And it just happens to be vegan because I don't eat dairy products. They upset my stomach. So I found this stuff that's like, you know, it's a plant-based cheese, but it tastes really good. It tastes like mac and cheese. So
what's the plant-based cheese made out of?
Let's see. I have to read the ingredients here.
I'm just curious because when I was like volunteering, I guess, at the cardiac rehab center, we made a mac and cheese and homemade the sauce with cashews. Like, we'd soak them and then blend them and then add spices. And it was actually pretty good. And so I wonder, and it was the best, it was probably the best vegan mac and, well, I don't eat vegan mac and cheese often. Actually, that's the only time I've ever had vegan mac and cheese.
Like, it was really good.
Yeah, not the same, but pretty good for vegan mac and cheese, what I would expect.
It didn't just taste like cashews.
No. And one
mac
of the
and
big,
cashews.
Yeah. One of the big ingredients was the nutritional yeast.
Oh, I was about to ask if that's what you used to make it cheesy.
Yeah. And then we added some turmeric, mostly for color, to make it look cheesy, and a bunch of other spices, but it was pretty good.
Sounds good. The stuff, I'm reading the label on this box I bought, and it's like a lot of oil. It's like canola and safflower. Canola and safflower oil, tapioca starch, vegan natural flavors, pea protein, yeast extract, annatto for color, onion. So same kind of idea, sounds like.
Yeah.
Without the cashews.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe not as much of a whole foods plant-based product, but.
Yeah.
But still much vegan. Less labor intensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it makes me happy.
Good. And gluten-free pasta. It's like my nightmare in a bowl, Cody. That's what you're eating. It's so sad for you, but also I'm happy that you have the option.
Next time you come, you need to try it because I think you'd be surprised.
I think so, but I also love me some dairy, so.
Of course, of course.
So I'm dog sitting for my mom and I open her fridge and she has like picture boxed wine, but Fireball in her fridge. And so I had a shot of that. I'll post a picture later because it's basically just like this huge container of liquor, which I've never seen in my life. And so I had a shot of that and now I'm drinking a little White Claw, a grapefruit one.
That box honestly scares me. Like that's as big it's as scary. Like a computer tower full yeah. of fireball.
That thing is yeah. frightening. Like can it's, you imagine that happens probably because people play slap bag with Fireball.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare. She got it as a joke. Like it's been in her fridge for months, so it's fine. I'm not concerned. But it is so much alcohol.
I mean, Fireball, props to you for the marketing to the only group of people that consumes your product, college kids.
Oh my God. I was going to ask you, like, when's the last time you guys had Fireball?
Probably Christmas.
For me. Oh, wow. Recent.
I think it was when we did the ladder, when I did the ladder, and you guys, all of the dietetics class came to the plant where I was doing the ladder, and then someone bought me a shot of Fireball, and I was freaking 112 ounces of beer in.
Ooh.
And then I ended up leaving my bra at the bar. We could probably strike that part too, but it was important for the story.
Okay. That's staying on the record if Dorothy stayed on.
Okay, yeah, fine. You can leave the bra, but you have to strike the name I dropped because we, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Same though. It's been probably like years since I had Fireball. So I took a little shot and it was a flashback into college. Didn't like it. It's so syrupy, especially.
Yeah. It
was not good, but.
Oh, it's right so now. Rough. Have you guys ever had like Fireball Jello shots?
Ooh.
No,
the actual worst. They're so bad.
Like with like red Jello.
Yeah, like cherry Jello Fireball shots. It sounds like it should be good. They're not. They're so gross.
Yeah, because you have like cherry cinnamon.
Yeah, it's
and,
like
burns.
Nothing but sweet and burning. It's so bad.
Sounds like college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it tastes like bad decisions.
So, I guess we're just talking about vegan diets in general today, right? And just opening up a conversation.
Yeah. This is going to be a low-key kind of day, you guys.
We got a lot of comments and questions about a vegan diet or vegetarian or plant-based. And we've talked a little bit about plant-based, but we kind of just wanted to dive to the vegan diet because it seems like a lot of people that I know at least are vegan or have considered going vegan.
Yeah.
I feel like it's becoming even more trendy and even more well known because pretty much what, like 90% of Hollywood is now vegan.
Shut up. Like, what?
I pulled that number out of my ass, but I mean like all the people in the media. Cody, that are,
I thought that was for real. Like I'm well, so gullible because like, no way.
Don't you guys remember? No. Was it the Golden Globes or was it the Golden Globes or the Oscars or that guy that played the Joker, not Heath Ledger, second Joker in the movie? And he, like the movie, the Joker, I think. Anyway, he like stood up and did this whole like spiel on being vegan and they served like vegan dinner, I think. And like, I mean, it was a very strange.
Very, I know exactly
to me, it's,
who
to
you're
me,
talking
it's
about.
Super strange because it is so trendy right now and not, I don't think, for like reasons that I agree with.
Right. Well, because Libby, you and I were both raised on farms, and I think with that comes a certain perspective too. that maybe someone who grew up in downtown.
Guys.
Right, which we'll get about. To. But I mean, just purely from, I think, like, it sounds like where you're going is just like the reasons that you don't understand personally, like, for choosing a vegan diet is what's being touted by this guy. But like, I just think of, because I would tend to fall more like in the same camp with you, but I think it's so much a part of how I was raised personally. And like, there's a lot of people who maybe just grew up not really seeing that connection to their food, like with animal products, like raising an animal, feeding an animal, selling an animal, and maybe they just kind of grew up in the middle of the city.
Yeah, I'm 100% talking about I will get into this, but environmental impacts, that's where the science isn't. I don't care if people choose not to eat meat for ethical reasons. That's totally different. So, I mean, I guess let's just get into it. What is a vegan diet to a T is you don't consume animal products, and typically you also don't use animal products in any way. So like leather, makeup. Yeah, you like vegan or cruelty free makeup is a part of that usually. Anything that you consume, I guess, which is hard to be 100% vegan, but
right. And animal products would include anything from meat to dairy to, like, some vegans don't eat honey because of bees. Like, it depends. There's kind of a range, but for sure it's eliminating two food groups, dairy and meat.
Well, and eggs too.
Well, and I suppose you could probably debate whether meat is a food group or if it's just protein now, like with legumes and eggs and all the rest.
True.
But dairy definitely is a food group.
And I guess we wouldn't necessarily have to call it a food group, but it's eliminating types of food.
Yes. Yeah. Very major type.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, the difference between that and vegetarian, for example, vegetarian just eliminates the meat aspect. So they still typically will eat dairy. Some will eat eggs, but then there's another name for that. So there's so many like subcategories that you can call yourself vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, who will eat fish. Octo, what is it, like octo?
No, like, not octo, lacto.
Lacto ovo.
Octo means.
I am writing that down now.
Isn't octo like the Greek prefix for eight?
Yeah,
that means eight not types like of meat. Eight.
I love it so much. Okay, I have like a serious, not so serious, also probably might have to get struck, but do you believe that flexitarian warrants its own name, or do you consider that just regular eating?
I've always liked that term, and now that you call it out, Libby, I think that it should be just regular eating. Like, we should all be a little flexible in our diets, and to me, that's like a whole foods plant-based diet. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's like because people are typically a little more mindful if they're claiming to be flexitarian, then it's like maybe they primarily focus on being like a vegetarian. But when an opportunity I always think of one of our classmates, and she like is from the East Coast. And so when she went home, she always wanted to eat the good seafood. Yeah, the good seafood that she found when she was home. So she started off the semester being vegan, and then she came back and said she was flexitarian because she wanted to be able to consume foods when she's in different environments and cultures, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like she would have been a great one to ask that question to. Maybe I'll text her later. Be like, how would you describe flexitarianism? Because to me, it just means you're an omnivore and you eat everything.
It's funny, but now that I think about it, flexitarian, it could just be like another word for omnivore, basically. But yeah, I like where you're going with that. Maybe you are just more mindful of like moving further along that plant-based spectrum to base your diet primarily on plants. But then every now and then you include the meats.
Yeah. So interesting. Oof. Guys, this world confounds me. There's so many things we could learn.
Like 8 different types of vegetarians.
Yeah, there's a lot of different vegetarian types.
That's called an octo-vegetarian.
An octotarian.
So that's all of that, though, is kind of like what we talked about with plant-based diets being a spectrum. But if we're going to talk about veganism, it is like one end of that spectrum.
Yeah,
very extreme, the most extreme.
All the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most restrictive, really, for all the different types of foods commonly in the human diet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say common, I mean, it is, there's no denying, if you look at populations throughout the world and throughout history, animal products have been a major source of sustenance for people. And I think some would argue that, you know, as humans, given our evolutionary history, like as hunters, some would argue that really enabled us to source enough calories to have the energy to evolve to where we're at now with our big brains. And
absolutely, we're top, you know, of the food chain. And I mean, I think if you look back at historical intake of all people, meat was always a part of their diet because they had to eat to survive. If you didn't eat, you died. So, and they were hunters and gatherers. They also ate plants and roots and nuts and seeds and vegetables and all sorts of things. But meat was always a staple. Meat or fish, because not everybody had access to meat. On the coastal towns, fishing was more accessible. But I just remember like our global nutrition class, and it also delved a little into like historical nutritional intake for people. And meat has always been a part of it. So.
Yes. And this is where, you know, for me, we've become a little bit absolutist. And I think particularly some people when following a vegan diet, you know, maybe they're choosing to eat that way because of a very like philosophical or ethical reason, which is valid. But I think that can lead to a bit of extremism, like, and judgment, when in reality, like, everyone chooses their diet based on a lot of different factors, and humans have been very resourceful in, you know, putting together a diet based on their environment. Like Libby, you were talking about, if there's populations that live close to the coast, they're going to fish more. Or maybe if you like the Nez Perce people, which is a reservation I grew up on in north central Idaho. A lot of that land was inhabited by the Nez Perce people before European settlers came. And they ate a lot of camas root. So they call it the Camas Prairie now. But, you know, that's just an example of...
Cody, I didn't know that. Look at this little history tidbit.
Yeah.
Well, I have to look up camas root.
Yeah, yeah. It's like these little, they're like these little bulbs that grow underneath the ground, and they're really sweet. But they'd like dry it, they'd make it into a paste, they'd use it to flavor jerky in different dishes. And so I'm just saying, like, people have always relied on their environment, and that's always given them a mixture, really, of plant and animal foods.
Yeah.
Right. Too. Environment could mean, even if you live in today's world or like in a very rural part of the country, environment could mean like access to certain foods. So if you live in a very rural area, you might not have Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, where there's so many vegan options for food. Like, if all you have is a small ass grocery store down the street, and that's the only grocery store within 100 miles of your town, you're not going to have the same options as people living in like a big city or even a bigger town.
Oh my gosh. You guys. Yes. That's I was just having this conversation with Trent the other day because we were talking about how being, to me, if you get to be vegan, that's great. I am happy that you have that option, but I also do think that it's a privilege, right? Not everybody has the option to be that selective with the food that they intake, okay? I do believe that you are very fortunate to have the option to limit your dietary intake to where you only eat plants and vegetables, right? Vegetables, fruits, whole foods, and no animal products at all. And in that case, we were just talking about how, so there's a hospital that I used to fill in, and it's a little town called Pomeroy. And we were,
Oh,
when we
I've
were
been to
in,
Pomeroy.
yeah,
I
and when
used to
we were
buy
in
pigs there.
college, oh, so when we were in college, we have friends and they grew up there. So we used to go to their ranch and camp, like a couple times a year. But we'd always stop at the gas station to stock up on necessities. Well, the gas station slash market, but like, they have such a limited option. Like it's mostly frozen vegetables, if there's any, and maybe they'd have some bananas and then some meat, maybe. But it was really like gas station type food. But that was their market, and it was the closest market until the next town that's 45 minutes away. And
Oh my
then, you know, we were
gosh.
just thinking about it because I live in Yakima, and there's a reservation super close, and they're super low income. And limited, there's like we live in Washington. There's not a lot of public transportation. It's not like you can catch a bus from Wapato on the reservation to Yakima to the grocery store. And they really don't have like big chain grocery stores there that have access to everything. And so we were just talking about how inaccessible it would be to be a vegan in those places unless you're like, you know, got a 50-pound bag of beans and you stockpiled vegetables or grow your own. Like it would be really almost impossible probably to have adequate intake in these like smaller areas, and you'd have
On a
to cook
vegan diet.
everything. Yeah, you'd have to cook. You would not have the option to like go get a Beyond Burger, that's for sure.
Right. And I think that's the hard part, is because a lot of people that might not have the access to education on how to cook vegan foods or anything like that, they lean towards those like pre-cooked vegan, not necessarily pre-cooked, but like Beyond Burger or the
Those
chicken
vegan
nuggets.
products.
Exactly. So it would be really hard to start from scratch
Like
in
my
a rural
mac and cheese.
area.
Yes, like your mac and cheese. It's allowing you to enjoy the food that you want, but it's also
It's a
not,
very
you didn't,
specialty item.
yeah,
It's
you didn't
not
soak your
exactly
cashews.
Whole
And
Foods,
like,
right?
did you buy that at Whole Foods, Cody?
No, I just meant it's not a whole food so much as, it's a product. There's
But where
multiple
did you buy
ingredients.
it? Now I'm curious. Where
Me
did you buy
too.
it?
I
Is it
actually bought it
accessible?
at Winco,
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
which
do
is
actually.
just right
I
down the
think
road.
their vegan products are becoming a lot more accessible just because it's so trendy right now. So I think it is accessible in more spots. But if you don't have a major grocery store, even like Winco, if you don't have access to that, it could be really hard to find stuff like that. People that would try to go vegan in really rural areas like that would have to rely a lot on like canned beans and stuff like that. And that's great. Like, we have no problem with canned foods at all, but it would be hard to get that variety that you could get living in a bigger area.
And then thinking about possible nutritional deficiencies, right? Most people on a strict vegan diet are taking some sort of supplement to maintain everything, because you get a lot of important like B vitamins and iron from animal products and beef. So
And this is where I want to go back to something you said, Libby, about just talking about kind of the inherent privilege and being able to have the choice to say, you know what, I'm going to craft this diet based on these food choices to be only vegan. A lot of humans around the world, in fact, the majority, I would say, do not have that privilege. They are eating to survive. And they are accessing food in the ways that they can access food. And I think everyone has a different food story. I've talked about that before. And there's absolutely nothing wrong if you do choose to follow a vegan diet and you're able to do so in a safe and healthy way. But I think we do can kind of get into a problem when certain people kind of think it's morally superior or hold it up as this ideal nutrition-wise, which it is not nutrition-wise. Because when you cut, because think about it, and we've talked about before too, nutrition in general is about adequacy. And the fact is, animal-based products can have a lot of great nutrients for us. Like, you know, beef is a great source of zinc and iron, and yes, protein that is more efficiently utilized by the body than vegan sources. If we're looking at it from a purely nutrition standpoint. So I guess it, when we hold it up as this ideal, it leaves a lot of people feeling like, if I can't follow a vegan diet, am I being less healthy? You know, and the answer is no, you can still have that in between.
Absolutely. And I think too, Cody, just going off of that, I think that with a vegan diet, you would need some type of education on cooking and how to get all of your nutrients while eliminating those food groups. And most people don't have access to that type of education. Like most people don't have a dietitian or someone who can help teach them how to get all the nutrients and how to cook new foods that they've never cooked before. Their family's never cooked before. A lot of their friends don't eat. Like that's not something just everybody knows. And I think in the dietitian community, we see a lot of either strict plant-based people or vegans. And we have the luxury of getting that education in school. And so for people who don't have that education, that's hard to do. Like I still have no clue how to cook a lot of vegan foods. And I wouldn't if I hadn't gone through dietetics school. I would have no clue.
Yeah. And again, the level of kind of proactiveness that's required to avoid some of these deficiencies or potential deficiencies is just at a higher level to begin with. You really have to be vigilant about planning a vegan diet the right way if you don't want to come up with some gaps.
Right. Yeah. And just to reiterate, we're talking about a full-on vegan diet here because we've talked about plant-based diets before, and we're definitely not advocating against that because we're definitely pro plant-based diet, but vegan is a different story. It's a little harder to do in a healthy way.
So what would you guys, what are some of the biggest nutrition challenges of a vegan diet that we can talk about?
I would say your B vitamins are probably your hardest to obtain.
Yeah.
B12. Yeah, it's recommended
primarily in like high amounts in beef and dairy products.
Right. And it's recommended by the Academy if you're a vegan that you should be taking a B12 supplement because really like animal products are the only ways to get those. So if you are vegan, watch out for B12.
Yeah. Some people will even get B12 injections month to month, which is easy enough to do. What do we think about protein coming from a vegan diet?
You have to eat a lot more. Like I think of it like if you want to get adequate protein from a steak, you need like a 4-ounce serving for a standard person. Okay. This is a standard person, not if you're a 360-pound football player, as we talked about with Colin, but you need like a deck of cards sized serving to get the appropriate amount of protein. But for like, to get that from beans, you would be looking at a very minimum of a whole cup of beans, which is, to me, a lot of beans. Like, I mean, that's like a half of a standard can, I think.
Yeah.
A standard can drained, perhaps? No, a little less. Anyways, I mean, it's like you really have to up. You think it's enough protein. It's not. You have to eat a little bit more when you're getting it from a plant source, typically, unless it's like tofu, but that's a condensed plant source. So
right. Well, because the really idea fair. Is that your body is absorbing and utilizing less, a smaller percentage of those amino acids in a plant-based protein than in most animal based proteins. Yeah. So yeah, you have to eat more volume to meet your needs at the end of the day.
They're less bioavailable, but they're also less protein dense, right? Because they're coming along with, you know, fiber and other things that add a little more bulk. So
just percentage wise of the food, that protein content is less, but then even of that protein, your body doesn't utilize it as effectively. So some of it actually basically gets pooped out or, you know, passes through your GI tract, and maybe it's utilized by some of our gut microbiomes or microorganisms.
Hello.
But yeah, you just have to eat more volume as on a vegan diet, which people get used to, but
yeah, unless you're using like a supplement, like a protein powder, or if you are consuming, you know, like the Beyond Burger type, like those products, because they're going mm-hmm. to be a really isolated source of the protein, because they're taking a soybean or a pinto bean or whatever bean they're utilizing, or a lentil, and they're mm-hmm. going to process it and condense out just the protein portion, as opposed to serving you a whole pinto bean that has starch and then so carbs and protein and fiber.
Water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, from if you reference our whole food plant-based diet, we're very much for eating the whole bean versus like a Beyond Burger type product. But not to say that it isn't a good resource. I think tofu cooked well is quite tasty. So
just not tempeh, right? You stay away from
the tempeh. Oh my gosh. So. Yeah. I mean, it was delicious, but it was also like a gut bomb. So
yeah. Well, I think, again, one of the big things with veganism is like, it just, my big stance on it is we have to remember everyone makes their food choices for many different reasons, right? It's
absolutely
the environment you are living in, maybe the values you were raised with or have adopted, mm-hmm. your own personal preferences, your budget, you know, and all of those things are just look different for everyone. So I think it can be really easy, especially nowadays with the kind of diet wars and, you know, diet culture. People don't always take that into consideration. They're like, well, the whole world needs to be vegan and stop eating meat because it's taking all our water. And you have things like the Lancet report coming out and saying, you know, the world's going to end unless we all stop eating meat. Or maybe I think ridiculous amount of meat that they kind of posited everyone could be allowed in that report, it was like the size of a pinky every day or something stupid.
Yeah, when in reality, but modern agriculture is super sustainable.
Yeah, and the other thing is like, yeah, I'm not going to get into the environmental type arguments because
we could go on for don't understand days, them you guys. Very well, actually. Days and days and days. I could go on about that, so we won't. But just know that you should always do your research, very much so. And also just be very cognizant that modern day farmers are facing a lot of challenges in terms of environmental standards and like regulations that they follow. And modern day dairies in America are exceptionally efficient, and like they conserve so much water, it would just blow your fucking mind. And that is, I'm going to leave it at that because I really could go on for days, but I had to say something, you guys. Do your homework.
Oh, no, I think it's totally
don't believe
fine.
What Hollywood tells you, because they make a lot of money and they have nobody to call them out for it. So
to hold them accountable. I think that's so true. Like, I'm just going to say something too, because I think there's a lot of negative publicity that can get directed towards producers, like sometimes in people that are proponents of a vegan diet. But like the reality is, and I encourage anyone to visit a farm, talk to a farmer, see what it's like to actually produce these foods, and maybe not necessarily on an industrial level, because that's a different story, but it's, I know from my own personal experience growing up on a farm, it's a way of life, and you take care of those animals, because if you don't, then they don't do well, and you don't get to sell them, and they, and you don't make a living. So
amen.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, yeah, if you beat your cow doesn't let down milk, you don't then produce milk, you do not get paid for that pound of milk that you would otherwise have produced. It's basic cow physiology. And I think if I get my shit together next time I'm in Boise, I'm going to do like a little live at the dairy, and I'm going to show you guys some cows. And I think it could be fun. Maybe get my brother on in front of the camera to say hi and milk a cow for us. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be cool.
I haven't milked a cow since I was 16, and I'm proud of it.
You're like, those days are over.
Oh my god, it was like, it was actually a super cool several months that I was the milker when we bought the dairy originally, but also never want to do it again. I got pooped on a lot, so
yeah.
But I digress from that. I do want to just like drop again, we're not bashing vegan diets. I'm not at all. Not one bit. But right. Also, it's rather unfair for celebrities and influencers and people who have a lot of means and a lot of access to safe, healthy, available food to then shame their followers and the general public for not following their quote-unquote superior diet, because you're not them, right? You don't.
And your food access and your food story, yes, just looks different.
We're all different. All of us. Amen. If you don't want to eat a burger, great. If you want to eat a burger, cool. Eat what you want.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to throw in too, like, yeah, the health benefits to eating a plant-based diet, especially with diet culture, people think more extreme is better. And so I think that leads a lot of well-meaning people to categorizing themselves into a vegan diet. And like, just so we're clear, a lot of those health benefits are from a plant-based diet. So it doesn't mean that you're, it doesn't mean you can only get them if you're the strictest and you never touch meat. Like, you can still be further along in that spectrum and eat a plant-based diet and enjoy animal products. And really, it's not like you're less healthy than someone who's a pure vegan.
I think I talk about this a lot, almost in every podcast we do, because it's, I think it's super important. But look at your relationship with food. For somebody to go completely vegan who may not have already established a very healthy relationship with food, it could be very detrimental to their relationship with food, because we know that cutting out food groups can cause a lot of issues around food and your relationship with food. And I'm just all about stability, like eating mostly nutritious food in your diet overall, but also having that flexibility. So when you go out to eat, or when you go to a barbecue with friends, or when you're craving something that might not fit that 100% vegan diet and feel a little bit deprived because you can't eat it, like that matters too. And that's part of your health as well. So we want to look at the big picture here, because we do know that eating primarily plant-based, that's the best for your health. And that's the best way to lower your risk of developing chronic diseases nutrition-wise, but there's other aspects to health than that. And it doesn't have to be completely all or nothing.
Morgan, I'm so happy you said that. That is so good. The mental aspect of that is huge. Like, evaluate why you do it, And if at any time it's causing you constant anxiety, girl, you gotta look at it. It's just, nobody needs to be anxious all the time. We have enough stress in our lives. At least I do. No. I don't know, personally.
Especially when it comes to food. Like, food should be enjoyable, and you shouldn't have anxiety around food. And if you do, going completely vegan might not be the best idea, because it just establishes all these food rules on top of some problems you might already have with your relationship with food.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's so easy and so normalized to let these food rules, so-called, get pretty out of hand now. It's encouraged in diet culture.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. It's like, how can you prove that you're committed to your health if you can't give me a laundry list of things that you're not allowed to eat? Like, that is so, it's disturbing that that's what it is. But to me, that's how it's addressed in today's society. It's like, oh, well, if you're not cutting anything out, then you're not doing it right. Excuse me. I'm doing it fine and I still fit in my jeans. So yeah. You guys, that wine hit me so hard.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Well, I started, you know, when I texted you originally, and I really knocked back my first glass. I had a day. I don't really know why. I don't know if I'm hormonal or
just one of those Mondays.
Is it a full moon? I don't know, but I just know that Libby has been grumpy as shit today, and this wine is filling my soul. So
good, good. Hey, wine is vegan.
You bet it is. Look at that. I'm curious. I should do a comparison of amount of water taken to produce a bottle of wine versus the amount of water to produce a gallon, like, or like a liter, like, of meat. No, like a liter of milk. A liter of wine versus a liter of milk. I bet milk is significantly less. But it'd maybe be not.
Interesting.
Mm. I'm not going to do it. I think it would just make me sad about my wine. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we wanted to cover? I thought this was a really nice conversation, you guys.
I think so too. Just again, we weren't trying to bash vegan diets. If it works for you and you're doing it for the right reasons, that's totally fine. There's just a lot of issues that we wanted to discuss about the trend of vegan diets.
I think that's key.
It's not necessarily always for the right reasons. Like, really look at why you want to be vegan, and that's totally valid. If you found a good reason and there's research to back it, then go for it. We have no problem with that at all.
If the reason's good enough for you, it's a good enough reason. That's like chill as hell.
Yeah.
But I also encourage, anytime you're doing something and you want to sway people to your side, I really encourage you to have a really strong argument and really strong research. Research always helps you in an argument, and you will win. But you also have to, like, believe. I think my brother told me this once, like, when I was doing a public speaking event in high school, and he was like, you have to believe that what you're saying is what everybody should believe, and then they'll believe it. And I won a lot of contests with that mentality. So if you act like you're the smartest person in the room, they will believe you, which is also like a flaw in our society, because then we believe it and we don't do our own research. But
right. And I think it's true, but like, and even going back to diets, like, I think there's people who are kind of imposing on a more ideological level that everyone should be vegan. Yeah. And I know that kind of, those people give it a bad rap, and a lot of people aren't like that. But again, you shouldn't ever feel pressured into doing it if it's not like something that you strongly believe in and came to just because it's trendy.
Preach it.
All right. Yes.
Because honestly, it's way easier to eat a healthy diet with animal products. I'm just going to say it. It's easier.
It is. It's much, much easier to get adequate protein. It's more convenient. And yeah, and when you go out to eat, you know, you don't have to say no no cheese and no whatever. I mean, it's so hard. I can't imagine being a strict vegan and going out to eat because, like, or even like someone who's celiacs, I find that to be also super hard because you pretty much you're sworn off of Chinese food because they use soy sauce and it's gluten-free soy sauce. But same with being vegan, it's super hard to guarantee that you aren't going to get any animal product in things that you eat unless you prepare them yourself.
Or unless you're in like West Hollywood.
Yeah, for
like
sure. I mean, shit, you couldn't even use glue.
Stop on the block is vegan.
Yeah, because they use every part of the animal in production. And I always like grew up knowing that glue was made out of hooves. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where I learned that. Probably 4-H. I don't know.
I was told that too.
Yeah.
But I'm reading an article off the internet. So take it with a grain of salt, but it says here on treehugger.com.
Oh my god. That sounds reliable.
Yeah. It says most animal glue has been modified or replaced by synthetic adhesives.
Interesting. Tangent. Hmm. Did we have any questions on a different note?
So no questions this week, but next week, Libby, we were thinking we could talk about alcohol, like the science of alcohol, the metabolism, and just do like a fun little episode on alcohol.
I love it.
Okay, guys. So alcohol next week. I can't wait. Alcohol. Bring your drinks. And then
I will make a post. I'm going to make a post about for questions.
Sounds good.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Okay. Right. Talk to you.
Thank
next
you, guys.
Week.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Dietitian Power Hour. Give us a follow on Instagram at Dietitian Power Hour Pod.
You can find us on Spotify or wherever you like to listen, and please drop us some stars if you enjoyed our content.